Thank you, Basil. We've come a long way from those dreadful posters with a miserable family with 10 kids. And I think this is another example of why having programs go for 8 years or so makes a real difference. So I think the donors should take note. You get really good results. Our next speaker is Eugene Katzen, and he is the project manager for BCC at FHI 360. He has a new project dealing with gender-based violence that in DRC Congo, and we all know that's a huge problem. He has a very broad experience, has worked with USAID, AED, it's a precursor of FHI 360. Did I say FHI 360? and World Bank. And so, please.
Welcome. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for attending. My name is Eugene Katzen, and as you heard, I'm working with FHI 360's Center for Gender Equity on a project combating school-related gender-based violence in Democratic Republic of Congo. So first, I have to say I have no personal financial relationships to disclose. And I want to begin by talking about the extent of the problem of school-related gender-based violence. Unfortunately, this problem is enormous. It's worldwide and also fairly common. So estimates indicate that almost half of all female students and a sizable number of male students experience some form of sexual violence in the educational context. And school-related gender-based violence is a difficult subject to talk about for many people. We like to think that when we send our children to school that it's a safe place, a refuge where they don't have to worry about being victims of violence. But unfortunately, the opposite is true in many post-conflict societies. And today I'll be speaking specifically about Democratic Republic of Congo. And this violence has a significant impact on public health. It has a negative impact both on students' academic performance as well as their physical health and mental well-being. So it has a far-reaching and a long-lasting impact, not only on today's children, but on future generations. Recently, we've been hearing a lot about gender-based violence in Eastern Democratic Republic of Congo in the ongoing conflict zone. But this is not limited only to the East or to zones of armed conflict. And in post-conflict zones, in the rest of DRC, domestic and school-related gender-based violence are the legacy of years of conflict and the breakdown of traditional societal norms. So it's in this context that USAID requested that the Communication for Change, Sea Change project design an anti-GBV intervention focused specifically on school-related gender-based violence. And that's what we're now piloting in Katanga province of southeastern DRC. The definition that we use in the context of our project for school-related gender-based violence is the following. School-related gender-based violence, or SRGBV, results in sexual, physical, or psychological harm to girls and boys. It includes any form of violence or abuse based on gendered stereotypes or that targets students on the basis of their sex. It includes but is not limited to rape, unwanted sexual touching, unwanted sexual comments, corporal punishment, bullying, and verbal harassment. Unequal power relations between adults and children and males and females contribute to gender violence. And this violence can take place in the school buildings, on school grounds, going to and from school, and it can be perpetrated by teachers, students, or community members. And it's important to note also that girls and boys can both be victims or perpetrators. So it's a very broad definition of school-related gender-based violence. So a quick overview of the project. Last year in 2010, the USAID Communication for Change, or Sea Change Project, began this new initiative promoting positive social and gender norms to prevent and mitigate school-related gender-based violence among school-aged children in Katanga province of southeastern DRC. And using schools as the point of intervention was a new approach to addressing GBV in the region. There are a number of other initiatives that take a community approach, but this is a novel approach to use the schools specifically as the point of intervention. The primary objectives are to equip young girls and boys with the knowledge and understanding of SRGBV and the skills to avoid it, to increase the knowledge and build the skills of school administrators, teachers, and parents to discourage and intervene to prevent SRGBV, also to establish policies and structures in the school that discourage SRGBV. And this is key because most of the schools in this region did not have any official policies regarding SRGBV prior to this project. Also, we want to increase the number of students who report incidences of SRGBV and also increase the number who seek out services if they are victims, and also to increase girls and boys' understanding of the consequences of SRGBV and to ultimately change the attitudes that underlie this behavior. The beneficiaries, the direct beneficiaries are both male and female students aged 10 to 14, so that's a mix of both primary and secondary schools. And we're working in a total of 31 schools in Katanga province. Indirect beneficiaries include parents, teachers, school administrators, and community members, as well as policymakers at the provincial and ultimately at the national level. So as you heard from the definition of SRGBV, it's a very complex issue. And it results from harmful gender norms and a power imbalance between males and females. And given the deeply rooted causes of SRGBV, it must be addressed at multiple levels. And our project seeks to intervene at the following three levels: institutional, community, and individual. At the institutional level, we're working with teachers and administrators to develop codes of conduct that are transparent, well understood, and enforced, and teachers are being trained to identify and avoid improper behavior. Also, at each target school, we've identified what we call a focal teacher who's going to receive additional training and will act as a first responder for any incidences of SRGBV. At the community level, we're engaging parents and community members to raise awareness and get them involved in improving the conditions in and around their schools. And for example, parents are members of what we call SRGBV oversight committees at each school that work with the administration and the teachers to establish codes of conduct and enforcement mechanisms at the level of each school. And then at the individual student level, we've developed a life skills curriculum to increase girls' and boys' understanding of the consequences of SRGBV and to help change the underlying attitudes promoting this behavior. I have examples of the communication materials we've developed through this project if anyone wants to look at them in more detail after the session. Now I'd like to turn to a baseline survey which we conducted at the onset of the project to give you an idea of what we found and what we're what the starting point is for our interventions. So the baseline study was conducted among all of the key stakeholder groups, students, teachers, and parents in 42 communities in Katanga province. And we looked at their level of awareness and also the prevalence of SRGBV and attitudes and behaviors of the different stakeholders. And we conducted this among 966 students, 923 parents, and 457 teachers in the survey. We also did focus group discussions with over 600 students, close to 300 teachers, and almost 400 parents. And what we found from both the survey and the focus group discussions is that school-related violence is widespread in Katanga province. And teachers and parents unanimously recognized the severity and recognized that students are often victims in their schools. And the primary types of violence that were cited in the baseline survey were physical violence, sexual violence, and moral and psychological violence. And when we talk about physical violence, one of the main types of violence cited in the survey was severe corporal punishment by teachers in the school setting. Also, students walking to and from school or during the recreation time after class were often victims of physical violence promoted by their fellow students. In terms of sexual violence, we found that these are fairly frequent, and here the perpetrators also include both teachers and students. Many of the girls reported that teachers are pressuring them to have sex in exchange for good marks, and multiple schools also reported that students had impregnated girl students. In terms of the moral and psychological violence, we found that this was mostly directed toward girls in the form of insults and humiliation. Some of the key findings from the survey were that, as I stated earlier, 20% of girls report that students are pressuring them to have sex in exchange for good marks. And more than 25% of the students report that beating or whipping occurs regularly in the classroom. The teachers themselves admit this fact, that they use beating or whipping to enforce discipline in the classroom. And only about half have classroom regulations concerning violence, so that underlies the importance of establishing codes of conduct. And most schools do not yet have a person designated or responsible for dealing with SRGBV. So that's why we've initiated the focal teacher training. And also, the majority of students are not aware of how to prevent or avoid SRGBV. And only 16% state that it's currently being addressed as part of their in-school training. Less than a third of students report that procedures exist at their school for dealing with cases of SRGBV. So that's the reason for our working to establish these SRGBV oversight committees. And close to three-quarters of parents report that in the communities there are no active structures present for dealing with issues of SRGBV. So traditional mechanisms like courts or police are not addressing the issue in these communities. So quickly, to outline the sequence of interventions for this project, we began first by defining the rights of the child, rooted both in national and international law. And then we moved on to awareness raising about SRGBV. Next, we moved on to establishing classroom regulations and teacher codes of conduct. And teachers are now beginning to practice positive discipline in the school. I also mentioned earlier the establishment of SRGBV oversight committees at each school to address incidences of harassment or abuse, and then reinforcing all of this through community media and outreach. And next steps would be to strengthen enforcement mechanisms and to build up a functioning referral system where the focal teachers will act as first responders to direct students to the proper services in their community, whether that be health services, psychosocial support, or legal support. Now, we're still early in the process, less than 1 year of implementation since the project began, so we don't have any real firm results to report, but I can report the following in terms of what we've achieved to date. We've trained over 125 teachers, using the USAID Doorways Safe Schools teacher training module. 30 focal teachers have been trained as first responders in the target schools. And community radio messages on the rights of the child, positive discipline, and corporal punishment have been aired throughout Katanga province, 444 spots, and then 19 in-depth radio shows discussing issues of SRGBV. We also have developed a training curriculum for students that's now being used to directly train students on how they can prevent SRGBV. We also have developed a comic book series that has been distributed to all of the students in the target schools, over 6,000 copies. And then we've recruited parents to serve on these SRGBV oversight committees at each target school. We also have youth-led SRGBV clubs at each school that organize awareness-raising activities at the school level. Local support is really the key to sustainability and having a long-term impact with this project. And so we've been working closely with national and provincial authorities from the Ministry of Education, the Ministry of Gender, Family and Children, the police, as well as the teachers' union. And what we've found is that each of these groups has really embraced the program, and they're now championing this approach to try and scale it up in other provinces and even on the national level. There's on the national at the national scale, there's a lot of potential for replicating this approach. And then some stories about changes we've noticed at the teacher level. After the first round of training, there were a number of teachers in Lubumbashi who vowed publicly that they would give up corporal punishment in their schools and made public announcements to that effect. So I think we've been very encouraged by the quick adoption of the approach and the support we've gotten from all of the stakeholders involved. So going forward, it's going to depend a lot on the continued support of these authorities as well as the students and parents themselves. So we're seeing that there's a link between violence in the home, violence in the school, and violence in the community. And violence in one sphere, it often leads to violence in others. So by focusing this initiative on the school environment in Eastern DRC, we seek to break the cycle and lessen the level of violence, not just in the schools, but in the communities at large. So I'll close with this call to action, a quote from former UN Secretary General Kofi Annan, who said, "Violence against children is never justifiable, nor is it inevitable. If its underlying causes are identified and addressed, violence against children is entirely preventable." Thank you.